Praise God. Well, Lord, bless this word. Bless us all. Thank you, Father, that you do dwell in us. Oh, my, what an amazing thing that is, that you would choose to dwell in flesh and enable and empower us and entrust us with such authority. Teach us tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Finally, brethren, Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth. I want to talk tonight about that love stands. Remember, God's love for you is consistent. God never fails. His love never changes. But his love will not keep you. His love will not sustain you. His love will not save you. His love will only do what you complete the circuit on. His love is big. It's big. But we understand, you know, and I know I repeat myself, but we need to have this deep in our hearts so that we can grasp it, that because a lot of people have the idea that, well, God is God. God will do anything that God wants to do. God's love is sufficient. Well, God's love is sufficient for what we will allow it to be sufficient for. God's love is sufficient to save everyone in the world. But not everyone in the world is saved. God's love is sufficient to keep a young gal from getting pregnant. But it won't keep a young gal from getting pregnant. But his love is sufficient when that love is completed by our love. And even then, there are people who love God that sin. That doesn't change the fact that God is who God says he is. And that God loves just the way that God says that he loves. But it balances on our love. And I believe that that's the reason that God said the greatest commandment is you love God. Because loving God will keep you. You know, we've talked about all the things that God's love does. God loving God, we pray because we love God. We do all of these things out of love's keeps and love heals, and love delivers, and love this. And the thing is that love stands. It's love that keeps us standing. And it's got to be our love for God. Our love for God will have us stand against temptation because we love God too much. Remember Joseph? Joseph said, I could never do this. I couldn't sin against God. Because he did love God. Joseph found something that very few in that period of time found. And I don't really think that Joseph even knew for sure what he found. Because love had not yet been perfected. Our ability to love had not yet been perfected. Christ in us perfects our ability to love. It's that God in us, that Christ in us, as Vicki shared about it, as Levon shared about. It's that Christ in us that enables us to love. And that love has to first be focused on God. Sometimes people will get sidetracked, and that love will be not misused, but misconstrued. And so that love is turned into works out. Okay, I did this for this person. Well, see, the Bible does say that if you've done it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. But you can never love anyone else enough to cover what you need to have that love for God. The love for God then allows you to spill over with that same kind of love. The love of God constrains us. The love of God compels us. Our love for God. God has been drawing people to Himself forever. That's why He made man. He had such relationship with Adam and Eve. But it got interrupted. The only one that it never was interrupted with was Jesus. And remember, Jesus said, "But that the world may know that I love Him, I go." In other words, it was because He loved the Father. Yes, He loved us too, but because He loved the Father that He went to the cross. And because He loved the Father, that love then was shed abroad on us. And so the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given to us. And so what we can come to understand is that love will keep us standing. See, if we have a little bit of a desire for God, we want to stand, don't we? We don't want to fail. We don't want to sin. We don't get up in the morning and say, this is my day off. I'll just go ahead and fall. It really won't matter if I have a bad day. You know, although sometimes during the day we may say it's not the end of the world if I have a bad moment. Well, it may not be the end of the world, but we need to come to a place where we don't excuse those. Where we don't just say, well, you know, nobody's perfect. We need to make a declaration, it is my desire to be perfect. I have the Spirit of God dwelling in me. I have Christ in me. I can be, I shall be. Even in this, I shall be perfect. I will not excuse these things. Well, that's a little carried away, but it may just be a doorway to a whole other level of blessing. Because we're entering into that place. You see, Jesus, it says of Him that He loved righteousness and hated unrighteousness. Well, the righteousness of God. He loved God. And we shouldn't allow ourselves to be so easily deceived or so easily robbed. And as we grow in our love for God, our vision clears up and we see more clearly. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, is a good idea. So that I can see more clearly what is mine and what has no place in me. As Jesus said, Satan, you have no place in me. So that we see it more clearly. I heard a man talking about in Deuteronomy, you know, the list of the blessings and the list of the curses. And he said that we should get excited about the list of the curses as well, because the list of the curses tells us what we shouldn't have. That it has no place in us. So that when it says that you'll plant but you won't harvest, he said, not me. We can become excited about that. And loving God builds our confidence in that. You see, okay, the world, people who don't even have a relationship with God will accept the fact that, well, God loves everybody. Now, none of you may have been in that frame of mind, but I know in my frame of mind for a long time, my holdout hope was is that a loving God wouldn't send anybody to hell. I actually sort of believe there might be a hell. I pretty much believe that if there was one, that's where I should go. And so my hope was that a loving God, because they said God loves, would not do that to me, because I'm not all that bad. Well, course, that wasn't true. But it was, you know, that was as deep as the hope went. And as I was thinking about how love makes us stand, God began to remind me of places where it was happening when I didn't understand, but it was happening as a result of what turned into a love affair. When, as I said in the devotion, when it, you know, 25 years ago, not quite 25 full years ago, we're just about there, just right into that time, you know, all I recognized was that I found something that I didn't know I needed. I wasn't looking for anything. I wasn't looking for salvation. I wasn't, as far as I knew, I wasn't really looking for anything. And yet, a rescue took place. That's all I could call it, would be a rescue. I had no understanding, no nothing. But I did understand that something about what we studied in this book had made me feel better. And it seemed as though the source of that was in the person named Jesus, and so a rescue took place. And the rescue sort of turned into a relationship without me understanding the terminologies of the relationship. And the music that was in me began to come out in peculiar ways, saying things that I didn't really comprehend. And when those songs were shared later with people who had understanding, and they would say to me, you know, you have the gift of a psalmist. And, you know, I said, okay, two problems there. I don't know what you mean by a gift, and I don't know what a psalmist is. Although I had heard people refer to David as a psalmist, but, hey, David was in the Bible. I just got out of a frying pan. Ain't no way I'm in the Bible, okay? But, you know, and so whether you want to call it Christianese or whatever, I didn't necessarily understand the terminology, but I did understand something was stirring, something was coming out that I didn't totally understand. But as it was coming out, what it was turning from was a rescue to a relationship to a love affair. I loved God. As close as I could understand what love was, that was what was happening, although I didn't totally know it. But I experienced, as when Michael was born, I still draw on that. I can still go into that spot with the Lord. And I mean to tell you, love came through a ceiling in a delivery room in a way that I had never, ever, ever experienced it before. And it just kept pouring. It poured out in the room. Vicki and I just wept, and we weren't weeping. We were weeping in joy. It was just such an amazing, amazing feeling. And now, honestly, about 20 years later, I think that God has given me greater understanding of what happened there, allowing me to grasp it, to be able to articulate it a little bit, to realize this is what that was. So that then 2 years later, when Josiah was born and Josiah passed away, and the Spirit of God wells up in me going across a playground, and I'm just going, to God be the glory. And I'm going, what was that? Because that should have been the furthest thing from my mind. But even then, now I understand, then I didn't understand, that it was love for God that made me stand. I never had a doubt about the goodness of God. I never once even thought, let alone articulated, I don't know why God did this to me. I think that I had some human type thinking about things, and I have wondered many times since if I'd had greater understanding, if it would have ended the same way, if I would have had greater faith, if I'd have been able to command. But even at that, you know, I look and I say, it doesn't really matter. I was still standing, and it, not because I was anything, but it was a miracle of God. But my love for God enabled me to stand. Just to stand with my loins girt with truth. And by that time, we're like 6 years into more truth, and so I knew more truth, but understood a minuscule amount. And now I know more truth, and I still understand a minuscule amount of what the Word of God really has for us. But I'm becoming to understand this one thing, that no matter what, if I will keep myself in love with God, not in the love of God, but in love with God, nothing, no weapon formed against me will prosper. Nothing that rises up against me will have any choice but to fall. The enemy will come at me from one direction and flee in seven directions. There is no good thing that God will withhold from me, because this is the confidence we have. Love will make you stand. Your love for God will not allow you to waver. Your love for God will keep you, as it did Joseph, where Joseph, you know, he just said, I can't sin against God. You don't see Joseph saying, well, what's the deal here? I got a dream, and now I'm in a pit. What's the deal here? I got out of a pit, and now I'm a slave. What's the deal here? I go from being the manager of the house, and I honor God by not sinning against Him, and here I am in the prison. What's the deal here? God gives me a gift. God gives me a gift, and I interpret a dream. My Lord, I should be famous, but here I am, I'm still in jail. We don't see Him doing that at all. He just stood. Having done all to stand, He stood. He stood before it was written in Ephesians. A long time beforehand, He stood. And He ruled the nation. He knew God. But I believe that we can know God a lot better, because Christ dwells in us richly. He lives in us. I want more of you manifested. Lord, you live in me. I got all of you, but I've got to have the eyes of my heart open. I've got to have my understanding opened. But in order to have it opened, I need to seek it. I need to pursue it. I need to go after these things. And loving God opens our eyes to going after something. Because when we are just rescued, or we are just in a religious sort of a thing, you know, we don't understand the reciprocal trade agreement that there is between us and the Lord. We don't grasp the fact that, yes, He does live in me. Yes, He did say, you will do greater things than these, and it's possible for you to do greater things than these. He wasn't just saying, well, say to the mountain, and it will be picked up and cast into the sea to exercise His vocal cords. He said, listen, speak to the mountain. And it's love for God that gives us the confidence to do this. See, God's love for us doesn't give us the confidence to act. Knowing God loves us gives us the confidence to believe that we'll go to heaven someday. But knowing God loves us doesn't... we don't act in authority based on that, because we don't have the confidence in it. Because when it's just based on His love for us, we're not sure. We hope. We think maybe. But no confidence rises up. But when we are in love with Him, now we know Him even as we are known. And we don't doubt that He will do something. We go into it saying we would be surprised if He didn't do just as we said. You know, I had a thought about when the hurricane was coming toward Louisiana, and people kept saying, you know, we're hoping for the best, but preparing for the worst. And I thought, What a double-minded declaration. Now, fortunately, there were some people praying, we want the best. But God couldn't deny those people who were preparing for the worst, could he? When people are expecting the worst, so he drops it to a category one. They get a little rain, they get a little water, everything goes well. But what if they had all simply stood for the fact that we have the whole state praying and we're expecting it to stop in Jesus' name? Could God have done that? I certainly believe so. But we don't live in a society where everybody agrees for such things, do we? No. We have people who say things about, you know, Gustav being a gift from God because it'll interrupt the Republican National Convention. You know, I mean, that man needs saved. Boy, he'd be a great Christian, though, wouldn't he? Anybody that'll say that stupid stuff boldly nationally, just think of what he could do with good stuff. Of course, nobody'd want to listen to him then. But, you know, the thing is that we come into a place. Do you think everybody in heaven agrees? I think they're all of one mind. And the Lord said, pray this, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I will tell you that supernatural love affair with God makes even statements like that seem like a normal thing. Because we become more one. Love makes us one, doesn't it? And then when we're one, then we'll stand. You know? There was nobody disagreeing with you in that mall about wanting that baby to do well, was there?
Didn't care about praying and
vomiting either. Yeah. Not one person was standing there saying, oh, just let the baby die. Not one person was saying, you know, nobody was saying, oh, shut that woman up. No. There might have been a few saying, what meaneth this, but that's fine. But the fact is, you know, all of a sudden everybody came into agreement on that. They came into agreement on that thing because one person came into total agreement with God on that thing. And the Spirit of God gets shed abroad and saturates places. Loving God gives you confidence in God. Because when you're in love, then you believe He's in love. But when we aren't in love, when people aren't in love, you know, I mean, you think about it. When you first started to consider that God loved you, you know, it's like, well, I know He must. We've all had those things of we don't know why He should. You know, some people who've not experienced love have a hard time understanding what kind of love that could be. You know, well, the best way to experience God's love is to love Him back. Is to get involved in the relationship. When you're in love, then you're nurturing it. When you're in love, you're allowing Him to woo you, you're starting to listen to things, you know, you're doing this and that. Yeah. I'm gonna leave that with you. I'm gonna leave one more thing with you, and then I'm gonna be done. Okay? I want you to think about, you know, how loving God empowers, enables, and will actually cause you to stand. Then I want to share something with you that the Lord just kind of, He stood me up this week with. I got such a kick out of it because, you know, He nailed me with something, and I was almost giddy when He said it, even though it scared the bejeebers out of me. Because And so today, I'll just read to you, I think. I'll skip if I have to, but he steps it up a bit. He indicates, we were talking about this loving thing, okay? And so now he indicates to me that now that I'm beginning to understand this, that now I should be able to do things for other people the same way that I would do things for him. Now, I knew exactly what he was talking about when he said it, even though he hadn't said it yet. Okay? But you know how it is when God speaks something to you, that understanding attacks you, and you get a bigger picture than just what he said? Because, you see, the thing is that what he was talking to me about then, I mean, all of a sudden I knew all the questions. He said, if I ask you to do something, Roger, would you ever grumble? Absolutely not. I have never, not once, grumbled if God asked me to do something. I've never said, oh, I suppose I have to because God said so. Uh-uh. I mean, I never even have any hesitation. And I'll grant you that I've not even had any hesitation sometimes when he might not have even asked it, but I thought he did. You know, because so anxious to please, I can, like a little puppy, you know. I mean, dogs, they just want to please. My dogs will bring me a toy, and they just want to please. They just want to, throw it for me. So, you know what I mean? I had this understanding, and I knew exactly what he was talking about, too, because, I would, anything he would ask me, I wouldn't grumble. I wouldn't go, who does he think he is? I wouldn't allow imaginations to go in my mind. Nothing. If God asked me to do something, man, I'm on it. And I'm wanting to do it the very best that I possibly can do it, and with great joy, and I'm thanking him for the opportunity. Oh, praise God. Just like, Vicki, you were just thanking him for the opportunity, for the way he led you. I mean, just excited about the possibility, you know? I mean, just excited. Glory to God, this is awesome. I mean, after something like that, you want to go to the mall. You may never want to shop again, God forbid, huh? You know? John says, my prayers are answered. No, he likes her to shop. He's like me. He'd live in a corner in a shack somewhere if he didn't have a wife. Anyway, okay, so I'm getting there. I'm wandering, but that's okay. So here's the deal. What he gave me in a capsule is that now I can do all things as heartily unto the Lord. Now that means, because probably the particular person in the whole wide world that I must do this now. It's not a if I choose to do so. This is a very clear thing. That if my wife wants me to do something, that I can do it for her the same way that I do it for the Lord. But he was so good. He said, I can be selective. But my attitude must be this. You see, I can still have discernment. But here's the deal, okay? I don't know if any of you ever do this, okay? But me, sometimes. And God, in his wonderful glory, he allowed me to get this assignment at a time when I have really, 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 really been fighting a good fight against vain imaginations. But man, imaginations. You know? I mean, just like, you know, I mean, I'm wanting to do something, and my wife will ask me to do something, and I'll go do it, but I might as well have just told her to go to hell. You know? Because the attitude that I went ahead and did it with was getting it done, imagining all manner of things that I could say and saying, no, you can't think that. No, you can't talk that way. No, you know, I mean, I'm having a good fight with myself. And now, God, we're sitting there having a perfectly wonderful time, intimacy, loving on him and this and that. And he says, and now, son, you can do things for others the same way you would do them for me. Would you ever complain about anything I ask you to do? No. Would you ever grumble? No. Would you ever think evil of me while you're doing something for me? No. You can do it the same way now for anyone. And I love you all so much, I'll just pass that on to you. You can do it too. Sure, shovel, John. Oh, this will be a fun one. Wouldn't you like to be a bug on everybody's wall for just a little while? Wouldn't you love to have video monitor? Wouldn't you love to see what God will be able to see as we're going, oh boy, oh glory. But I will tell you something. Don't do this just because I said God told me to do it, okay? But if it bears witness with your spirit, it really works. Honestly, it just removed what I'd been fighting. I mean, it ain't bad. But boy, when he said it, I thought, now this could be a long process. And then I apologized for saying this could be a long process, because he said, now you should now be able to do things for others the way I do them. That I should do them for others the way I do them for him. Oh, how do you do that, Lord? Suggest such difficult things and yet sort of tickle me. You see, it was a very difficult thing and yet I just had to laugh at it. I thought, how do you do that, Lord? How do you give me such an assignment and make me almost giddy about it? Because, you know, in the natural, it's impossible. In the natural, it's just nonsensical. After all, we're only human. But if God says, and if I think about it, then actually we come into that place of, because I love him, I can actually do everything heartily as unto the Lord. Whatever I do for someone else, I really am doing it for the Lord and feeling good about it. And not having to get done with doing it and say, there it's done, but phew, man, my brain messed the whole thing up. How am I ever going to get a blessing? How are you going to get a blessing if you're grumbling and complaining? How are you really going to get an answer to your prayer if you're grumbling and complaining? Ooh. So it would be beneficial for all of us. Okay, anyway, I'm going to quit there. I promised I would. I'm not going to go on any further with that. I'm just going to encourage you that God has enabled us and empowered us to go to as many levels as we're willing to go to. And we'll go there as we are bound to our love for him. Because out of love for him, all assignments are easy. But they aren't easy if we're only going on his love for us. Because if we are bound up on his love for us, then we'll always go back to that thing, well, he loves me, he'll let it ride. But when I love him, I ain't going to let anything ride. I want to do it perfectly. And I believe that as we grow more in our love for him, we actually come to understand when he said, you shall be perfect even as your heavenly Father is perfect, we can begin to truly believe for perfection and be willing to do whatever we must for perfection. Because we see it as a very, very important thing. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Anybody here that doesn't want to be blessed? I want to be blessed. I'm not ashamed to say it. And not only do I want to be blessed, but I happen to be totally convinced that God wants to bless me. Because we're intimate. And we're going to get more so. Amen? Keep falling in love with you more and more. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for people who diligently seek you, for people whose hearts are open to receive the blessings that you give us. Even your challenges are such blessings, Lord. So thank you. Let this go deep into our hearts, Lord, and those things that bear witness with each of our spirits, Lord. Not because you've assigned me that, Lord, but what bears witness with each of our spirits, Lord, then that's what we need to do, because to him who knows what is right and does it not, then it's sin. But Father, what we know to do from you is consider it all joy. In Jesus' name, amen.